Well, welcome to the show. Again, this is Keeping It Real, Conversations with Sunshine. And it is Saturday, February 20th, 2021. Also, I'll let you guys know that I believe in 6 degrees of separation. It has been proven over and over again since we have started this show. You're one person away, one advice away, one help away from where you want to be. Also, if you guys are looking for sponsorship, advertisement, all of that good stuff, please inbox me. Please call me. You can reach me out on Facebook on my channel, which is Sunshine Kamela, K-A-M-E-L-A. You can reach me on YouTube at the actual show's channel, which again is Keeping It Real Conversations with Sunshine. You can get in touch with Larry Bug at the radio, which is grooveradiodetroit.com. And then I'll let you guys know who and how do I know the person. So first, let's try to figure out what's going on with Nicole's show.
Are you
on your phone or are you on the laptop?
I'm on my phone. I should be connecting in the next minute.
Okay. So I had to actually, I don't know, this must be a powerful Saturday because right before I was supposed to get on, my computer went haywire. Everything that I was supposed to connect it to didn't want to work. So I had to reboot everything. So I'm assuming and I know that this show here on out are going to be awesome. We're having slight technical difficulties, but we're going to get it together and we're going to go forward. I'm looking forward to all my interviews on today. I have some very powerful people in their own very route. And the information that is going to be given on today is going to help you some way, some form, some fashion.
I am so sorry that this is happening. I do Zoom all the time.
Things happen. So, while I'm doing this again, Nicole is trying to get her video started, so we can see her while we're talking to her. And while she's doing that, we're going to talk about. Also, we're going to continue to celebrate Black History Month, and we're excited about this. Just off topic, I think we might got her. Let's see. Auto. There we are.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hello, everyone.
So we have... What do you want to be called as, Nikki or Nicole?
I'm Nicole. Nikki is my character.
Okay, so I'll let you guys know that how I know the person. So Nicole was, or is, however you want to call it, she went to Osborne, same time I went to Osborne. Woo, to the Knights, yay!
Yay!
So I remember... several times seeing her. I don't think I actually sat down and actually had a class, maybe once or twice, maybe. But I remember seeing her, you know, passing in the class, I mean, the hallways and things of that nature. I knew who she was just by people talking. Like, you just know who someone is. Like, okay. Oh, I've never sat down and actually had a conversation with her per se, but I knew who she was. And fast forward until now, I was on her Facebook page because a lot of times we support each other because of the class that you came into, the school you went to. And I saw something on her page that stuck out to me. I've been watching her for years, actually. She just doesn't know this. I've been watching her for years. And I saw on her page, look out for my book, Daddy Issues. And I paused for a minute. And I said, Daddy Issues? And it intrigued me. So, and I was like, okay, how you buy the book? I need to read about not necessarily her daddy issues, but where I was at the time, my daddy is deceased. So I'm like, I kind of got some daddy issues. So let me read about her book. So I'm going to get in with the little background, or how did Nikki get to where, Nicole, get to where she is now as far as daddy issues. So let's go with high school.
Okay.
So from my understanding from the book, you were already, you've been writing.
Yeah, I've been writing since middle school. I've been writing poetry. I went from poetry to being a rapper. I wasn't a good rapper. But I've been writing since the eighth grade. Yeah, it was my way of coping with life. Everybody has a different coping mechanism, and my coping mechanism was writing.
Mm-hmm. So even in middle school, sometimes our teachers know what's in you by the things that you're showing. Did you have any teachers that actually pushed you in your writing?
I did. I had a teacher in middle school. Her name was Miss Crawford. She was actually supposed to assist me in publishing a book of poetry, but it never came to pass. Miss Brown was another teacher that was influential in me writing. And our journalism teacher, I don't know why I can't remember her name, because she was, I can't remember her name, but our journalism teacher in Osborne, she was also influential in my writing. It was probably because of her guidance, and I can't even believe I don't remember her name, that I even went off to college and pursued a degree in journalism after high school.
Okay. Now, for all those who do not know, Nicole, you have, what, two children or three?
I have two children. My daughter she'll be 23 in March, and my son is 21.
So her children, if you're not friends with her on Facebook, I will say I will give her flowers now. She has raised two wonderful kids and allow them to be themselves and allow them to grow and make their own decisions when it comes to the career that they chose, whether it's in school. And when I say they did it,
they did.
So let's talk about where the strength came from, or what were you writing in the point of trying to, you know, raise your children?
I wrote off and on raising my children. Let me just first say that parenting does not come with a rule book, a guide or anything of that sort. So don't beat yourself up, when obstacles come or situations come and your children don't go in the direction that you necessarily want them to go in, because it was a lot of prayer for me. It was a lot of prayer for me. I wanted my children to just, you know, have their own individuality. I didn't want, you know, because my daughter was a straight A student ever since elementary school. My son was, he got A's and B's too, but he kind of drifted after becoming an athlete. That became his number one priority. But I didn't want my daughter, my son, to feel like he was less competent because he wasn't thriving to be a straight A student. And I didn't want my daughter to think that she was less athletic or less important because she didn't want to be an athlete. So I wrote off and on during raising them. Not really a lot of personal, not even much poetry. I stopped writing poetry pretty much in my late 20s, and I will write off and on for ceremonies like weddings and different events, people's birthdays. People would ask me to write poems for that. But as far as being consistent with my writing while raising them, I can't say that I was consistent because I was in school writing papers and working. So, yeah, I'm just good at writing, but it's not something that I was consistent with during raising them.
So now that your daughter is, what is she doing now?
My daughter works for Cisco Unity Systems, and she's just graduated from North Carolina A&T. She's a 2020 grad. Yeah, she's doing well. She's doing well.
And your son?
And my son's a barber in Atlanta.
So I want to bring this out because, again, we go back to the village. We go back to, as she said, it was a lot of prayer in raising her kids. And I wouldn't say, you know, by reading the story in her book, I'm not sure if the fathers were around or not. But
yeah, my ex-husband was my kid, is my kid's father, both of my children's father, and he is a character in the book. Yeah, he's a character in the book. And as we go into part two of the book, you're gonna learn more about, a lot more about his character and his role in my life. And our life.
And that part, I wanted to make sure that people understood that we don't understand all the time what the destiny is. We just know I want to be successful. I want to make sure that my legacy is left intact. I personally, like I said, when I saw that daddy's issue, it caught my attention immediately. At the point, I didn't care who it came from. I saw daddy issues and I immediately stopped what I was doing. And I was grateful and helpful and happy that it was somebody I knew. So when I seen that it was somebody I knew for sure I had to support this book. Now, for those who just joined us, Nicole Buck wrote a book and it's entitled Daddy's Issues. I got the book, and I literally must say, I could have read the book in one day. And that's because of everything from the time she did the introduction of this book to the end, I was hooked. Not only because I know her, I know the area, I knew everything, like, wait a minute. So here it is. It's like, okay, now I get it. Now I understand. Now I'm hooked on, as she just hinted, the second part of this book is coming out in August.
Correct.
So now I'm all like on the edge of my seat. Like, I know where I was left off at in the first one. Now I got to get the second one so I can just, you know, get not so much as we would say, nosy into Nicole's life, because this is Nicole's life, but just to understand how some people really do have daddy issues. Or just issues in general.
Absolutely. And the important part about it is being able to identify it and acknowledging it. You know, sometimes we be so busy just living our lives, like going by, you know, just doing what we have to do to maintain and to be effective for our children, to be the head of our household, to be who we need to be on our job, to be leaders in our communities, entrepreneurs. That we kind of get away from understanding why we are the way we are and why we make the choices we make in people and in individuals and friendships and just not really being able to identify who we are and why we are the way we are. And that's the reason why we have patterns. That's the reason why cycles continue, generational curses, or unhealthy relationships one after the next, or just different issues, you know, because we're unable to identify who we are, or we have not matured enough to see the flaws within ourselves and to say, this is a flaw that I have, I identify with it, and because I identify with it, I know what to do to go into a different direction or to heal. When we're not able to, when we're not mature enough to put our finger on the issue and to learn to find out or to gain knowledge of the issue, then we'll never progress. There'll never be growth. So yeah, at some point in my life, I had to realize that some of the decisions that I've made and some of the flaws that I had nothing to do with anyone other than myself. So that's the reason. That's how daddy issues came about. It came about by taking a look into my life from birth up until the last 8 years and actually just looking at myself and being able to identify myself and where I fall short and what I could do to be a better Nicole. And that's the reason why I decided to write Daddy Issues.
So, okay, let's go back into why now? Like, did you get to a point like, okay, now that I realize these, you know, flaws or why I do the things, the cycles and all of these things, now I can help someone else? Is that what that was
not
about?
Not only am I able to help someone else, but my kids was grown and gone. I'm an empty nester. So, you know, being at home, I've never ever in my whole life lived by myself. I've always had my mom, my sister, and then I had children. I had stepchildren before I had children. So then after, you know, I've always had kids, and I've had children I helped to raise, kids that I helped to raise. I live with my mom and my cousins and, you know, family members. I've never lived by myself. So now that my kids are grown and gone, and they have their own homes, they have their own careers, they're doing their own thing. I don't have anybody to really reflect on or to pay attention to other than myself.
Mm.
So because of that, it's like God gave me this quiet time. And during this quiet time is what made me begin to write my books, because I'm alone with myself and my thoughts, and I'm able to determine who I am. I'm able to reflect on myself and to be at peace and at one with myself, because I don't have anyone to keep a constant focus on other than Nicole. So because of that, I was able to write my book and Daddy Issues, and hopes that it will bless someone else, and hopes that it will give someone else an insight to their own lives. I know plenty of women that have daddy issues, that still have daddy issues. My books are being written, but the daddy issues have healed. I am just now writing about it. I am healed. I'm completely healed. I am completely one with self. So, you know, I still have battles. We, you know, we're always going to have battles. But at the end of the day, I know who I am, and I identify with myself. So with that, I can help someone else that is battling some daddy issues as well.
So have you gotten to the place? Well, I know with the pandemic, a lot of things that possibly was on to be able to have an open discussion panel about the book. Are you doing everything virtually?
I'm doing everything virtually. Actually, this is my first podcast interview. I was pushing my book real hard. It was doing really good, real good. And I was pushing it and doing advertisement, doing my social media advertisement and the word of mouth. I mean, I sold so many books in Detroit. Like, I was so excited. And I sold a lot of books here in Charlotte, too. But the majority of my book sales came out of Detroit. And I was just pushing it, and it was just selling like crazy. It slowed down over the last few months, the last 2 months, because I haven't been marketing it as much as I was initially. But it's going to pick back up because I'm going to start marketing for the release of Daddy Issues Part 2. So we want as many people as possible to read Part 1, because Part 2 is going to be pretty lengthy. Part 1 was considered a novelette,
mm-hmm.
which means that it's not as big as a novel, but it's not small neither.
Okay.
But Part 2 will be a novel. It will be 300 to 350 plus pages. There's a lot of content that will be written. I will dive into from me going off to college up into having my daughter. So it will be pretty lengthy. After Part 2, there will be a Part 3, and after Part 3, there will not be another Daddy's Issue. So that's it.
So I will say this. Now, there was a book that was I had wrote in 2010.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That I still have not published yet.
What you waiting on?
Girl, I don't know. So when I read your book and I knew it was you, you lit a fire under me. Like, I'm holding on to this baby and I'm way overdue. And it was just a, like I said, a light under me to listen. What God has given me is for the people. It's not for me.
Absolutely.
Even if I don't even, you know, I'm not doing it for the proceeds. I'm not doing it for that. It's the content of, I didn't go through what I went through just for me. Just like mm-hmm. you didn't go through what you went through just for you. It was
absolutely.
For the people behind us, for the people around us to be able to not get over it, but heal from the things that the trauma that we went through. We didn't realize how much stuff that we had went through, even just in high school.
Right.
And so when I just read Daddy's Issue, you went through a lot.
I did. I've been through a lot.
the good thing is, even with that, one thing about it, you're still in the land of the living. And it's all for the bigger purpose. It's all for the bigger purpose. And I'm excited to be able to hear and see you, that you survived all the things that I've read so far. And I'm sure that's not even half of it that was even in the book.
It's not. There's more. There's part two. There's so much more. I mean, sometimes I sit and reflect and I say, you know, I am, if anybody that follows me on Facebook know that I am adamant about giving God the glory, because I've survived some things that I shouldn't even probably have the mindset that I have right now. That I probably should, you know, I'm strong. I'm so strong. God is so good to me. So yeah, I definitely have been through some things, and part two will discuss even more. And it will get part one is a walk in the park compared to part two. Yeah.
I'm so excited. I can't wait. 'Cause I'm like, to be able, I think it's on even on a whole nother level for me, because I know you. And a lot of things, when we see you now, and this is the part that I love about God, is some of the things that you go through, thank God you don't look like what you've been through.
Oh, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
It's an amazing thing to me. Even some of the things that, you know, we always hear testimonies from people like, I don't know if I've been able to do that. And I don't know how I've been be able to, you know, get up the next day after I done seen, or I done heard, or I felt the unction and I didn't move. And it's like, listen, you don't know at the time, but angels still was around you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Even
I mean,
relationship with your sister. Oh my God.
Yeah, I you know, I come from a praying family. I come from a praying grandmother. My mother is now that praying grandmother that I had as a grandmother. My mother is that praying grandmother to my children. Me and my sister are close. Me and my sister are we're very close. Like, I feel sorry for people that don't have sisters.
Right.
I feel sorry for people that don't. I do, because my sister know me. She probably know me like nobody else know me.
Right.
And she loved me. She loved me. And I love her so much. And, yeah.
So yeah, just a tad bit for all those who have not read the book. So she has a sister. I'm trying not to cry just thinking about it. And sometimes as big sisters, you know, we're the protectors. We don't take no junk from nobody. I don't care who you are. And it showed what a big sister would do for a little sister. I mean, I just don't have a sister. I have a brother too. But me being the oldest, we carry a lot of pressure with us that sometimes is not talked about. Because your parents don't have, like she said earlier, they don't have a manual. So you are the guinea pig.
Absolutely.
You are the guinea pig. So whatever standard or whatever the case may be, if they get it wrong, whatever, you're going to be the guinea pig. They'll get it right after number two and three or whatever the case may be. So her sister reminds me of my sister and my siblings and how that camaraderie. Look, I got your back. If I feel like mama coming, I'm about to warn you. I'm about to make sure you don't get in trouble, because I know where this is going. So I was laughing like, I feel like she said, I feel sorry for all those who don't have siblings, to understand at the end of the day, that's my blood. My blood gonna look out for me if don't nobody else look out for me.
My children are the same way.
Wow.
When I tell you that door, they're gonna team up against me. They're gonna ride for each other, honey. That sister and that brother, they're gonna ride for each other. They are thick. My kids are not only my children are close, but my children are even my stepchildren and my children. You wouldn't even, if you saw them all together, you wouldn't even know that they had different mothers.
Wow.
They are very close. They have each other's back 100%. They don't even live in the same state. But if something, when something happens, when one call, all coming. Like, they are thick. They are very close.
And I think that's what siblings should be. Like, seriously, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, if, you know, something happens to your parents, and I didn't even know, like, when my dad passed away, how we all took the, you know, the passing of my dad differently until we all talk about it. But we're mm-hmm. all stronger together as a unit, not
That's
separate.
Right.
But, you know, I check on my brother. He lives in Alabama. I check on my brother. I shout out my brother. Matter of fact, I just shout out my brother last night. Like, he's being grown. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's taking care of a wife. He's taking care of his two grandsons. He's doing it. He's doing more than he should have. Them grandsons is just like his own sons.
Right.
My brother didn't get a chance to have his own children, but he's living that life with his grandson. So yes, okay. My sister, she might have been the baby, but my sister is a full-time teacher. She has two kids mm-hmm. and a husband. So yes, I'm a support my sister. I'm going to support my brother if that's the last breath that I have. And so reading that in a book, I want you guys to like and share this video. Not only support a strong Black woman, somebody I went to high school with, but we all got issues that we need to deal with and get healed from. You can't move forward for real or be successful on any level if you still got issues that you're hiding in the closet or you have not acknowledged.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So give them another synopsis of the book. I know I done told some stuff, but.
Well, the is Daddy Issues Part 1, Unhealed, and it is about growing up in the inner city of Detroit. Growing up in the inner city of Detroit without an active father figure. Of course, I had uncles in my life and, you know, neighbors and things of that sort. But when I say active father figure, I mean a male that will be there for you, to support you, to comfort you, to protect you, to mold you, to educate you. I didn't have that. And because of that, I made some decisions in terms of men that probably or may have went in a different direction had I had that male balance. And in the book, I just discussed some of the obstacles that I come up against being a female without a father figure in my life. I discussed being molested as a kid. I discussed running with the law. I discussed some of the connections of some of the young guys that I dated, and I liked the roughnecks. I was attracted to the guys that our mothers probably wouldn't want us to be attracted to. So that's what I discussed in Daddy Issues Part 1.
I also talk about getting pregnant, having an abortion. I go into some very sensitive subjects, and that's Daddy's Issues. And part two, I'm not going to go into detail, but I am going to inform you all that part two will start off with young Nikki going off to college. And so, yeah, that's what Daddy Issues about. It's about sassy young Nikki.
Wow. So sometimes I want you guys to understand this too. Sometimes the passionate thing that we do, 9 times out of 10, is the same thing that God is going to use to catapult you to your success level. Let me say that one more time. So that tool that God had been giving Nikki since 8th grade or way before then, the way she talks, the way she writes words, how it articulates to herself, how everybody was drawn to her words, is the same tool God is using to this day to bring deliverance to other people, to not only help her to heal, but it's going to help you heal. And some people don't even realize they got issues. Now that's the
they
thing.
Don't. That's the right there. That is the realest statement that could. People don't. They don't see. They tend to see the flaws and the issues within everyone else but themselves. Like that. They're. You can't, you cannot, let me explain. And being a mental health specialist, let me just inform you of this. You cannot endure childhood trauma of any sort and live a life as usual. I'm going to say that one more time. You cannot go through childhood trauma and live a life as usual without being to able to, without identifying, without treating, without stating, telling yourself that this, the things that I went through in my childhood caused trauma. And this trauma has caused this to happen in my life. If you don't come to terms with that, you'll never ever heal from anything. And like you will live a life thinking that you're fine when you're really not. You have to identify it. You have to say, this caused me to be this type of way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't have to stay that type of way. I'm not saying that something that happened to me 20 years ago is the reason why, you know, I've allowed everything that's not good in my life to happen the way it happened, because that's not true. You know, something that happened to me 20 years ago, I'm not going to say it always plays a part in all of my decision making, but I am going to say that it does play a major part, especially if you haven't taken into consideration how this trauma has affected you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't. I'm definitely a better person. I'm definitely not the same Nikki that I was 20 something years ago. I definitely don't make the same decisions that I've made. Nonetheless, that's because I was able to look at my trauma head on and say, "Oh, this is where this came from. Let me attack this
mm-hmm.
with healing.
Mm-hmm.
Let me attack this with prayer. Let me attack this with guidance. Let me attack this with mentorship. Let me go to God and ask him, what do I need to do to fix this? Because this trauma has played a significant role in my bad decision making.
Mm.
If I'm not mature enough to see that, and ask God to help me attack that, then I'm gonna do the same thing over and over and over again with no conviction. I'm just gonna mentally tell myself, oh, that's just the way I am.
Yeah.
You know, but that's not what's up. So, you know, you have to be able to identify those issues or look at yourself square in the face and say, oh, I am this way because of this and I need to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not able to do that, then I'm going to blame everybody all the time.
All the time.
I'm going to blame. Mm-hmm. 20 years later, I'm still blaming everybody else except for the person that has the issue. Because, see, the thing is that as a kid, it was my parent's responsibility to get me the help that I needed. But once I didn't get that, because most of our parents didn't get the help that they needed. Mm. So if my parent couldn't get me the help that I needed because they didn't, they are unable to identify their own
trauma. Exactly.
So that I'm not going to get the help that I need from my parent because they can't get the help that they need for themselves. But when I become an adult,
yes,
it is my responsibility to get the help that I need for me.
Nobody else's responsibility. You going to pass it on to your kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That right there is going to save some people right there.
Yeah.
And it's okay. I don't care. I'm not going to go into the black race, none of that. I'm going to tell you, human beings, it is okay to go get counseling. It is it's a must. I don't care how old you are. Go talk to somebody. It's beyond sometimes a pastor or anyone like, no, go sit. I'm on the couch right now. Go sit on somebody's couch. Go sit in a chair. Go talk to somebody.
Because see, the thing is that you have to. Let me explain something to you, because we tend to do this as parents. Because I know I did this. My daughter just recently, she told me about some childhood traumas that she had. By the grace of God, it's not the stuff that I went through. Woo, thank you, Jesus. My daughter didn't go through my stuff, but she got her own little stuff. And the thing is that as parents, we tend to be like, for real, like it kind of is sting. You know what I'm saying? Like, but the thing is that, like I said, we are imperfect individuals attempting to raise other imperfect individuals. So your parents ain't perfect. So because they're not perfect, you're going to have some stuff. Some people's stuff is not as worse off as others. Some people's stuff is different. You know what I'm saying? I endured sexual abuse. I was molested. I know I got friends that's never been molested, never been touched in any type of way, but they have anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they had a parent that had to go away for a while. Maybe they grew up in a household where their parents was military and they was hopping from state to state. So they don't know how to connect to people because they're so used to temporary. Mm-hmm. They're so used to being in a temporary dwelling. You know, I'm a psych major, so I can go on and on and on about the traumas you can endure as a child. But at the end of the day, as an adult, it is your responsibility to take care of it. It is your responsibility to heal from it. And it's your responsibility to look at it square in the face, identify it, and understand that you need to fix it. And you may get a sorry, I apologize. And again, you may not. Mm-hmm. You may not, because a parent think that they don't believe that they're responsible for, you know, the trauma that you have encountered, because they were just doing the best that they could.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. It's no lie behind that. So they may feel like you don't deserve an apology. You didn't do anything because they were just doing the best they could. Exactly. Or you may do get an apology. You know, you may get an apology, and it may come from a sincere place because they didn't know. They didn't know. We don't know. We don't know at all. We don't have all the answers, you know, and we do the best that we can. But at the end of the day, like, it's our responsibility as adults to acknowledge it, to acknowledge where we fall short and to fix it.
When you was writing the book, did you have, like, sleepless nights and times you had to get a box of tissue and all of that good stuff?
I definitely did. More than anything was having to relive situations that were uncomfortable. And having to consult with my mom and get her approval on some of the stuff that I wrote, because I wanted my mom to be the first to read it, and she was the first to read it. I made sure that my mom was the first to read the book. My daughter was the second. It's some sensitive stuff in the book, you know, and I didn't want her to feel uncomfortable. I was going to put this out for the world to hear. I was going to put this out for the world to know, and I needed you to be okay with that. I love my mother. I love her. Love her to death. Love her to life. So that was important to me. It was also important to me for me to get the approval from some people that are close to me that I discuss situations in the book.
Yeah. So did they sign on it, or because you changed their name, it didn't matter?
No, I changed their names, and then I changed their names, and not only that, there are some embellished parts in the book. So that it wouldn't be so 100% true to life.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be so obvious, is that it could have some sense of creativity, and
Well, one thing about it, if you guys have not, and your book is on Amazon, correct?
My book is on Amazon, yes.
So please, you guys, I beg of you, this is something, if you never read a book outside the Bible, whatever book did you read, please go support Nicole Buck and Daddy Issues. Like she had hinted before, the second part of this book, and I can't wait, is going to be in August. And she came here for the book signing. And I think I was on something else and I missed it. So when she comes again with this second book, we're going to have to do double. She's going to have to sign the first one and sign the second. But I am so grateful and thankful that I'm your first person that you actually did the conversations with about the book.
Thank you.
That has been coming along a lot lately that a lot of people haven't done. A lot of the, you know, face-to-face on Zoom or whatever. And I'm like, it's just me. We just having a conversation. Don't look at it like, you know, it's an interview. No, we just talking. And so I know that this book is going to be a great success. It's going to, you know, get you to where you need to be financially.
Thank you.
And
I believe it.
Also, I wanted to say you self-published, correct?
I did self-publish, yes.
So that's another thing. You guys whoever writes, and I actually reached out to her too, because a lot of time when you self-publish, all of that money comes back to you versus going to a publishing house and all of that good stuff. So
correct.
If you have any questions like that, feel free to reach out to her. Again, I'm so proud of you, Nicole. You just have no
thank you.
Idea. And I'll support you in any way possible. Again, when the book comes out again, I will have you back on the show. So again, to self-promote, I don't have anybody like paying me to do these things. This is out of the kindness of my heart that the people that
thank you, I appreciate it,
will support you. And especially with a strong Black woman who got successful children out here, we need, the world needs to see this. The world needs to see that, you know, there's hope, there's faith, and she out here doing her thing. So thank you, Nicole, for taking the time out on this Saturday.
Thank you.
To promote your book, to promote wellness and in a whole. And I will talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
All right. Bye-bye.